Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Done and not to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
Public service announcement. There's only two things to worry about. Don't get arrested and don't get hurt. You're also going to hear from Tony Dunn about how we should be. We're playing with house money. Tonight's show, will Carolina crumble under the weight of expectations? You're listening to the C3 Panthers Podcast, brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Longest running Panthers podcast, where every Tuesday night we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. Each Tuesday, I do it with my wheelman, Cody Lack. Crumbling, strong, expectations. Who has expectations for the Carolina
fans? Hey, man, you know Panther fans are always going to have expectations, be they good or bad. And you know what you can always expect? That even when there ain't shit to talk about, the boys are going to find some good shit to talk about, because that's what we do. We do this every Tuesday night, all year round. And we have another big show tonight. Tony, not everyone heeded your advice of staying out of trouble. We have to talk about that in relation to the Carolina Panthers. We're going to talk about where Derek Brown fits into the NFL. Is he a top 10 defensive tackle? We're going to talk about expectations for Bryce, other players on this team. We'll post some updates about Panthers training camp and information relating to the building of the practice fields. Tony, we have a huge show, and you know we're going to do it with the best damn Panther fans in all of YouTube. You know we got the boy, Jake the Snake FU. What's up, brother? These ill skills, the brand damn ambassador. Hey, man, re-upping to be a member of the C3 Legion. Been a member for 18 months. We thank you, brother. Charlotte Sports One. What's up, Kyle? D off the porch. What's up? And the boy, White Chocolate Espresso. And last but not least, Panther Pickle. Tony Dunn, ain't nothing to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
The number is 252-228-5098. That's 252-228-5098. Get your thoughts in on whatever you want to talk about with the Carolina Panthers. Is it expectations, house money, or guys, we're going to be talking about this. Is who's the worst injury? Who's the worst free agent arrest? Oh, my gosh. CK, the voice that makes him moist. Don't make us nervous with anything other than your voice. Oh, you got a baby here. That made me nervous. I have a I'm safe. It's not my baby. Hey yo.
Say hi.
What's up?
You say hi.
Time to look, CK the dad.
Say hi.
Hello.
Born on the same day Bryce Young was drafted.
Oh, that's right. All right. Well, let's jump into the show. Guys, thanks for supporting the podcast, man. Cody, I thought each and every week, CK is, he's got his baby. He doesn't want to talk. There we go. Cody, each and every week, I feel like we say this, it's the slowest week in the history of sports.
Oh, and then it gets even slower. We're moving
ahead. Today felt like this. Today, I looked at Panthers. I have like a Panthers, like reporters, Twitter list I follow or something. Like, who knows? It's probably like 10 years old too, you know, but it was like all political crap. And like about, I was like, geez, I don't even want to watch. I didn't look at this for this. It was just like, man, even the people that are supposed to be talking about this got nothing.
Yeah. Well,
TK, do you got anything to talk about now that you put your baby away?
We're 2 weeks away from training camp. So that's exciting.
Okay.
Seeing the boys. Can't wait.
That's gonna
tell us what's happening.
That's going to bring an interesting situation into play here. Cody may have to hold the show down because I don't know what your plans are, Tony, but I'm traveling down to Charlotte on Tuesday, the 23rd, and I'll be there pretty late. So I don't know that I'll be able to be on the show. I might be able to do it, you know, just with audio only or something, but I don't know what your plans are, Tony, but we might have just a Cody podcast if Tony, you're traveling too.
No, depending on our day and time. So 2 weeks, is it really just 2 weeks away?
It is 2 weeks from today.
So the Carolina Panthers will open their new training camp under Dave Canales.
Let me clarify. Our travel down to Charlotte is 2 weeks from today.
All right, I don't know. Like 14, yeah. Maybe we're like 15 days, whatever.
15 days because it's the first training camp practice is on the 24th, which is the Wednesday after 2 weeks from today.
All right. Let me just ask you guys this in sort of a kind of experiential way is that everybody's been Panther fans for different times. We don't need to be like, oh, I was a Panther fan from this and that. But this is the first training camp we've had that hasn't been in Spartanburg. How different does this year? Does this year feel different to you? Or is it kind of like me? It's just getting murked up in the mess of my life and the things that are going on.
Well, I mean, I'm excited because obviously it's in my backyard. Right. So I love that. That's cool. I put this in the presentation for last, but since we're talking about it, we can just jump into it. The Panthers put out this handy dandy little map. This is what Panthers training camp is going to look like this year. So there's going to be on the far left side of the practice field, they have the VIP section, which is, I believe, where your boys will be for the first couple days. And
we're going to try. I'm worried about that handicap entrance area over there.
Well, it's VIP.
David Tepper's going to be building us a ramp.
Bro, I'll get in. Trust. The fan zone, get GA seating.
Guest general seating. Admission.
Oh, okay. General admission seating.
So that's free for all there. Sort of
what it's looking like right now. I also
light put rails slamming by.
Yeah, so this is on Queen City News. Traffic and parking concerns around construction of Panthers practice field. It's already causing some concerns and some issues. Progress has come rapidly together around the Carolina Panthers practice field located near Bank of America Stadium in Uptown Charlotte. For those living nearby, they said it comes with the cost of living so close to being able to walk to the Panthers' home games. But new arrivals into nearby neighborhoods said they're surprised by the amount of traffic already.
Oh, gosh. This is so whiny on everybody's side.
It sounds like such a Karen thing.
On both sides of it.
It wasn't in the Zillow ad when we got this place. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
It wasn't in this. You know, because Charlotte has been such a hot real estate market for it feels like two decades. Mel, who used to be on this show, he bought his house sight unseen there. He just bought it on the internet and looked at a 3D thing and just bought it. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, I didn't read this on Zillow.
The property has been surrounded by fencing, some nearby construction. So they're working on it, man. They are attempting to get this building and up and ready to go by the time we get to training camp. So, Tony, I'm excited.
When are we supposed to go, CK? Tell me the dates again. You're like,
I'm going
to
be down there
in my life.
Yeah, I'm going to be down there the 23rd. I'll be leaving work at, probably right after I leave work.
I'll be heading down there.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be until a little bit later in the evening on the 23rd. We're going to be down in Charlotte.
It's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, and we'll be there until the 29th, I believe.
That Saturday?
Monday, I think.
Monday? Oh.
Yeah, 27th is the back together Saturday. Yeah.
Which we're going to tell you the exact. We might be coming back on the 30th.
I'm pumped for this. This is in my backyard. This is by far going to be the most Panthers training camp that I have ever been to. Last year was my first year ever going to training camp. It's final year in Spartanburg, so I caught it at the right time.
I'm glad how everything is super early in the morning too. I haven't seen when I looked at the schedule. I haven't looked at it closely, but it wasn't 11 o'clock practice or anything.
9:30 is.
It's already hot enough, folks. You know?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be...
Getting the recovery and the AC after that and save yourself.
Dude, it's going to be a scorcher. And I'm wondering, are they going to have any awnings? Any protection from the sun? It's probably going to be hot like a bitch even
early. It's going to be terrible. All right. Yeah. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Smash the thumbs up button. Subscribe. Jump in the show. The number's 252-228-5098. We'll take a few calls in about 15 minutes or so. Cody, this is the deadest time of the year. That's what we said last week. That's what we said the week before. That's what we said the week before. My central message in this show tonight is don't be this guy. All right? And this is metaphor. This is the time of year where no news is good news. We don't want to hear about an injury, training, or a crazy golf ball that hits you while you're in the Dominican and your foot somehow gets gangrene and you got to be Breshad Breeland, who we were so excited about, and then you don't get to get that player. That's who this is. Don't be this guy, Breshad Breeland. Don't be this guy over here, Greg Hardy. He's a freaking monster. And because Nelly screwed his girlfriend, turned out to be a guy who was in the UFC, MMA, or doing something, getting knocked out all the time.
Yeah, don't not doing good.
Don't Always be these guys. Don't be these guys.
Don't be these guys. But Tony, there's someone else that needs to hear your advice. Someone else that you don't want to be right now is Adrian Wilson, the ex-Cardinals star player and Panthers executive, arrested on 3 counts of domestic violence. Former Panthers vice president of player personnel and Arizona Cardinals safety, Adrian Wilson was arrested on 3 domestic violence related charges in Scottsdale, Arizona during the early morning hours of June 1st, according to a spokesperson from the Scottsdale Police Department. The Panthers confirmed on Sunday that the 44-year-old Wilson was no longer employed with the team,
but would not comment further. Oh, that's funny. All right.
Yeah. But well, we did hear about this the other day. Milton
was arrested at his home and charged with assault, criminal damage, disorderly conduct. All three charges are misdemeanors. Man, I don't even know what to think about this already. This is why, again, don't be this guy.
Yeah, everybody he
probably
was really
wasn't even in the wrong
him.
To be honest. You know, like he's probably like can't like
oh,
you
know, know.
Look, misdemeanors, criminal. Look, he damaged his own property. Probably.
I mean, hey, listen, innocent until proven guilty, but especially okay. In
well, now the Panthers weren't like that.
Climate.
No, I
yeah,
think
they're not even gonna fuck
gotta,
around.
You got to keep in mind it took them a whole month to fire him.
Oh, really? So, this happened a month ago?
Yeah, this happened. He got
How
arrested
are we just
on
hearing
June
about
1st.
It?
And the Panthers only just fired him this week. And it's interesting because you see people in an uproar about it when they fired him because they didn't know the specifics behind why it happened. And so they were like, you know, essentially doing the things that everybody always does, which is just jumping to a conclusion about the fact right. That you know, it was Dan Morgan. He wanted to fire him because his new regime. There were some people who were using the you know, African American aspect to it. And then this information comes out, and it, you know, it's basically it's a lesson in, you know, maybe being a bit cautious about jumping to judgment about why people are being let go, or really with anything.
Yeah, or maybe look. If, for all we know, there's going to be news that comes out. This was bananas ass story,
right?
And not that he was calm or anything, but like there are moments where you ever seen the old Richard? You guys are too young for Richard Pryor, aren't you?
I mean, I know Richard Pryor. I've seen his stand up before.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll save it for save that story for another night. So what do the Panthers do
I
now?
Catching his hair on fire, right? That's a
no. All right, now you got to make me tell it. So he's talking about this as he's getting all he's and this is Richard Pryor at his best. Like when I always like comedians who are on drugs, not post drugs, because post drugs comedians just make fun of drug comedian, right? So like, you know, it's like, oh, this is how I used to be. So Richard Pryor supposedly was just getting lit up, and he got in an argument with his wife was trying to leave him. And he was like, F that. And he takes this gun outside and he shoots the car and shoots the tire. And he goes, pooh. He said, boy, it got good to me. So I shot another. Pooh. Oh, I was feeling great. Then he was like, anyway, so go watch Live on Sunset Strip. Is the best or my favorite. How about that? Not the best, my favorite stand-up of all time. And I will understand if you say Dave Chappelle is the GOAT, I will not argue with that. But Richard Pryor is my dude. Anyway, go watch it. What do the Panthers do next, Cody? Now that they've had to fire Mr. Meaner Man.
I mean, I don't know.
If you think about this, think about that, guys. They're all misdemeanors. What? So the stacking, like, I'm not saying the Panthers shouldn't. This is what happens when you're high profile, right? It doesn't matter if it was anything. You get a parking ticket, you're fired. But what do the Panthers do now here? And what does this position even do?
Nobody knows.
But, I mean, the VP of player personnel, I feel like every single
team fire
has
them
this
every
position. Every team has this position. I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's related to stuff like locker numbers, like all the stuff that pertains to, I believe, whenever players. When, like, for example, I think whenever Christian McCaffrey, like, would change his jersey, I mean, not here in Carolina, but
so you're telling me we fired the guy that changed his jersey?
No, like, they help when players are changing their jersey numbers. If players have
VP,
you know,
he's VP of player personnel. He better have more responsibilities than that.
Well, I think the next one up is Dan Morgan. Like,
Dan Morgan ain't okay. All right.
But that's what I'm saying. The VP of player personnel, those
this
are the guys.
We need to do.
These are the positions, Tony, that get hired to be GMs.
Cody, if you ever get credentials and you walk up in there, or not walk up, actually, that was fucked up. I didn't mean it like that. But
No shit, stupid. Finish your fucking sentence.
You have to say, like, what the fuck does this position do? That's what we need your question to be, is what does this position in the Carolina Panthers actually do?
But also, I think Darren
Jones, like, description, bro. Right.
You know,
now,
when the NFL gets grades every year for, like, their facilities and their, you know, the weight room and, you know, the locker room.
That gives them the ticket?
No, he's the guy that is like the, I guess, for lack of a better term, like a liaison between players and shit that's happening with the team and their happiness.
Make me that guy. Gosh, it sounds like another. All right. All right. What else?
Well, I mean, he's somebody that is no longer working with the Panthers.
True.
So
true. Hire any one of us to do absolutely nothing, obviously.
Hey, man, look, we got a $10 love bomb from No Face Slim. What up, No Face? Says, love y'all, boys. Big fan since the Teddy season and consistent listener. C3 Legion, stand up. Keep pounding. Don't stop what y'all are doing. Because not only are y'all building a fan base, you're building family. Appreciate you, Slim. You're the homie, bro. Thank you, man.
Dope.
No Face Slim. That's a homie right there, man. I see him on Twitter all the time. He's a cool people, man.
All right.
Been here since Teddy.
Teddy.
We've been down bad for Tadisha. Such a long
Tadisha.
Time.
No, we don't.
I know it, man. Tadisha. I know it, dude. I know it.
Tadisha.
So again, slow night of news and stuff circulating around. So I figured this could be a good discussion point. Derrick Brown recently got the bag. And, you know, I put this in the show because I think it lent to the title tonight. Like, what type of expectations do we have for players? And now you have publications like ESPN ranking Derrick Brown as a top 10 defensive tackle. They have him ranked at number 7. They said Brown was a menace in the middle for the Panthers, leading the league with a 47% run stop win rate. While the sack production isn't there, Brown has 8 sacks in 4 years. The disruption very much is. Carolina decided to build the defense around him instead of Brian Burns, who was traded to the Giants. You feel him more than you see the sack numbers. When you play him and watch him, he's really good. Wouldn't surprise me if he has more sacks in the future. Carolina is always losing in games, so teams don't throw the ball as much on them late. So what are your expectations for Derrick Brown this year? And do you think that maybe this year he could take another step forward as a pass rusher if the Panthers manage to get something of a lead at some point?
I do think White Chocolate Espresso might actually be family bloodline at this point. All right. To your question.
I didn't know Richard Pryor joke.
To your question, and I'll say my piece and direct it to CK. CK, I feel like Derrick Brown is... So we get lost in these kind of like, oh, he's a run stuffing, he's a pass disrupting defensive tackle. We go back to terms that Panthers fans would know with KK Short and Star Lotulelei, right?
Yeah.
Is like you have these very defined roles that complement each other. And I think there's something to that, like, is, but I actually think that Derrick Brown is more than Star. Right. Is like, I don't think Derrick Brown is just a run swallower. I think he could be a disruptor with the right personnel with him. So I think he's like, I don't like the word tweener because it makes you sound like you're not cool. But like, I think he has the run stomp abilities of a Star Lotulelei, but potentially semi pass rupting ability of KK Short.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think he's the best of both of them, in my opinion.
He's like a little merger. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying he's great either way, right? You know what I'm saying? Is like it made that. I'm not saying he's a super player. Like, who's the guy, Chris Jones from,
Kansas City
or whatever? But I feel like he's not just a run stuffer, and I feel like saying he's not a pass disruptor is unfair.
Right? No, I don't disagree. I think that Derrick Brown being at the top of the list on our defense makes sense to me. I think when you think about even that last paragraph on this, you know, people are talking about how his sack numbers aren't sexy. I mean, we haven't been a winning football team in a while.
No, where Brian Burns sacks numbers sexy.
Right. And so the idea that he is sometimes, you know, somehow not an elite player at the position because of that is, you know, honestly naive. The dude is clearly a run stuffer for sure. I think he is a disruptor. I think that he's got the, you know, the long arms. He's gotten how many batted balls that he's been able to get.
Man, he's been a great player for us.
He's a great all around player. And, you know, I think the fact that he doesn't have statistics that are outrageous and people are outside of the fact that he had as many tackles as he did last year and tackles for loss last year as he did. But even with that, the fact that he's still getting the recognition that he does is actually pretty impressive.
Cody, if we went and checked all the receipts of the people who check receipts, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
These people that are sitting in their houses, like doing advanced word searches on our Twitter for this guy and this guy.
Yeah, for everything that we've ever said on Twitter about
the Panthers. I bet you those exact people, if we go back, they're going to be talking shit about Derrick Brown. And I challenge any receipt motherfucker to go and find anything I've said bad about Derrick Brown in this show.
Yeah, I've been a fan of Derrick Brown.
Anybody, even when people were hating on him, I was like, nah.
I think the real question is you know, I feel like this defensive line is being built specifically to stop the run. For lack of a better term, I haven't been able to do that for eight years, dude.
I'd say a bend don't break defense.
Meaning, they've built a defensive front seven that is designed specifically to stop the run. And what I think that means is even if we end up getting burned a little bit down the field in the passing department, I think that if we're able to keep them out of the end zone and be good in that 10 to 15 yard range on defense and really shut things down, I think we can have a competitive defense. And I think that Derrick Brown is the centerpiece of what the Panthers are going to do. To that point, I am hopeful that maybe you are going to see some inflated sack production this year for Derrick Brown, just because of the guys that have been able to break
in. If he gets five sacks that's a balling ass season.
I mean, he's good for like three or four sacks every
feels
year.
Like
I
it.
Mean,
feels like it. Yeah. But if you're a run stuffing tight defensive tackle and you're getting five or six sacks, you're a fucking monster. Kev, you are my son. What's next, Cody?
Well, by the way, shout out to Pickle. He did send me a job description of what the player personnel
does.
All right,
let's see what they do.
An NFL team vice president of player personnel job description includes overseeing the process of evaluating, scouting, and recruiting players for the team. I said he's like the guy right under Dan Morgan.
You also said he was changing people's jerseys.
No, so look, they work with scouts, coaches, analysts, and general manager to create a cohesive team that can compete for championships. The VP of player personnel must have excellent communications and negotiation skills to build relationships with agents and players. So again, with players, building that relationship, you are the player personnel guy. So that means that the players would have something of a direct line with this person. And you had a hand in scouting them too. So yeah, it's basically
complete bullshit. Yeah, put
it's
us
a GM.
In.
So I was right. It's basically like a lower level GM.
He's a fucking, I'm not saying it's bad, but like, all right, well, put us in. How about this? It would be like a Mr. Beast video, Carolina Panthers. Be like, just take somebody who you say is super qualified and then take a random podcaster and see if we could do it better.
Who's not getting domestic violence charges.
Right. Not yet. Let's go. Next subject.
All right. I'm back into
this shine is wonderful props.
Another one that I feel like we've beaten to death, but
oh great,
again, we're talking about expectations.
Look, it's Panther Pickle put this up. Is salary ranges from $150,000 to $700,000 a year. Come on.
Sign me up.
Come on, Panther. Mr. Beast, let's fund this somehow. We'll do this. One of us will do it for $225,000. And let's see if we could do it better. You would make a million.
Oh, I know I could. Dude, listen. So right now,
like CK said, we're already ahead. We haven't got any domestic violence charges.
So Hard Knocks is playing right now. They're showing the front office of the New York Giants. And dude, listening to how they talk about players, and
it's not as sophisticated as you would think, is it?
We can do it, dude.
I know.
We can fucking do it. We just need the opportunity to do it. I guarantee you, if I got the boys, me, you, CK, all the boys of the Legion,
we'll put these in charge of marketing.
Oh yeah, no, he's the he's the VP of player personnel. He's that guy.
Yeah, he needs to be marketing.
Yeah, he's that. No. I'll be the GM. You can be.
What am I gonna be? Am I gonna be the owner that just throws shit in people's face?
you're Brent Tillis. You're the guy. Oh no, that'd be CK because CK is the money guy. So yeah, CK.
I'm just the guy that what
the nose.
Good time, Charlie. All right. Tell me about this. And why are we talking about Bryce Young?
Because what else are we gonna talk about, Tony? You want to make something else up? We can make it up.
All right, let's go.
All right. So 2023 went about as poorly as possible for Carolina Panthers quarterback Bryce Young, the number one pick in the 2023 NFL draft, struggled mightily his rookie season. And that had Sam Monson of PFF placing Bryce on his list of players under pressure to perform in year two. His development is to the franchise, having any hopes to turn things around. There's no real way to look positively on Bryce Young's rookie campaign, but the good news is that the Panthers front office recognized the severity of the situation and upgraded every support structure around him this offseason, from the coaching staff to the receivers to the offensive line to the backfield. Young averaged just 5.5 yards per attempt last season, recording 22 turnover-worthy plays and an astronomical pressure to sack rate of 24.5. So I guess my question in relation to this, and I've asked you this before, right? But there is this notion that Bryce is going to get 3 or 4 years to prove himself. No, and I disagree.
There's never been that notion.
Most fans think that 3 years is like the bench. It took Tua Tagovailoa his 3rd year before.
No, I'm a 3-year guy, but you can't frame this discussion in a 3 or 4 when you're really trying to make the discussion about a 2 or 3.
Well, and after last year being so bad, you have to think that the timetables have been pushed up a little bit on issues like this, man.
Okay. All right. Well, what's your question? Also, this
goes on. Well, I mean, no, but so my question was, what are the types of numbers that Bryce needs to put up?
CK, I'm going to let you. Look, CK, you got to answer this one. Give me 30. I'll be back in 1 minute. I'm not even listening to this.
For us not have the conversation of moving on from him next year.
I don't know that it's specific numbers that it needs to hit. I think it's passing the eye test, number one. But number two, it's how he handles the moments when he needs to be clutch, right? So, like, it's one thing to say if he has 4,000 yards and he has, 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, right? You know, that's great. But if we lose because, he's not able to put the, pedal to the metal when we're behind and we need him to make a game-winning drive, I don't know that that's enough to justify it, right? If he's not passing the eye test, I don't know that it's something that we can logistically say we move forward with him 100%, especially if we have another really high draft pick next year. It's going to be really hard, and the noise is going to be really loud about moving on from a guy like Bryce if he doesn't pass the eye test. Now, if you're asking me if just try to keep it two dimensional here and say, what are the stats that need to, you know, be put up? I won't tell you the exact number of touchdowns, but I'll tell you the way that I would approach it is it would be at least the 3,000 yard, you know, 3,000 yard and a 2-to-1 interception to touchdown ratio. Like, regardless of the amount, if he's throwing, you know, 20 touchdowns and he's got 10 interceptions, you know, that's still a pretty decent outing. Is it what you would call elite? Probably not, but it is something that it's worthy of having that conversation.
And considering that we're going to be running the ball a lot more, you know, I think that's probably going to take away from some of the passing yard numbers. I think that's something to take into consideration. CK, another thing that is said so often in terms of, you know, the Panthers moving on from Bryce is that next year's quarterback class is not rumored to be very good. So people think, well, if there isn't the quarterback there, you might as well just continue to reload, even if you have that high draft pick. And to me, part of this comes down to, is there going to be a quarterback there? Every time they say it's a bad year for quarterbacks, there's always like one or two that come out of the woodwork and look really impressive. I mean, nobody thought Joe Burrow was going to be a number one pick the year that he was. He came out of nowhere. So these types of things can happen. And a lot of what you said is the truth, CK, is he going to be able to pass the eye test? Is he going to look more confident? Is he going to be able to distribute the ball with accuracy and to be able to get the ball downfield? That's something that we've been dying to see, man, a downfield passing attack. And lately, the Panthers have not done that. But in OTAs, by the way, this is from Scott Fowler. He said, I was told that Bryce Young was making 2 to 3 wow throws every day. Play action looked good, was football mature, took the check downs when he needed. So I think that's a lot of what they want to do with Bryce is get him playing in a rhythm and ultimately just to see if this type of offense can benefit his play style. And we have to think about the receivers that we added. Are they going to be the type of receivers that helps Bryce feel more comfortable getting the ball out of his hands fast enough?
Does I think that it's you know, right now, I know that Canales and Bryce Young weren't necessarily part of the team at the same time like Cam and Ron Rivera were, right? But I mean, there's got to be a question we ask: what is it that Bryce needs to do to, you know, basically warrant us thinking? I would like to go the other way, you know, route. What does this team need to look like for us to feel like we hired the right person in Canales? What, like, is it a matter of success from wins, or is it, hey, listen, our offense looked better? If our offense looked better and our defense didn't necessarily take a step forward, do you feel like Canales made, you know, we made the right choice in moving forward with Canales as the head coach?
To me, those are a part of the questions that go into evaluating Bryce. Is this the right system for him? Is he going to be able to distribute the ball better? Are we going to be able to run the football better? How will the defense be? All these are relevant, but I think, like what White Chocolate Espresso said, I need at least 20 touchdowns. I need him to take that meaningful step forward, and he has to be in the 20 touchdown range in order for that to happen, in order for us to not want to be looking for another quarterback in the draft coming up this next.
All right. Here's a better question. Bryce Young gets hurt and he doesn't play the entire season. Maybe he doesn't even play half.
This is the worst question ever, Cody.
Well, then you're having the same conversation about Bryce that was had before the draft. Does his body hold up to an NFL schedule? Can he do the thing?
What do you do, CK?
Demanded of him at the quarterback position.
What do you do?
That's it's such a number one. If we're not, if I think that you can't avoid.
Like, what's the injury number
right.
one?
We're number, yeah, about, exactly. Right? You like, know, if it's an ACL. right? It's
he
it's
doesn't not, have the luxury for getting injured this year.
Right. He doesn't. You're absolutely right. I think that also will force the Panthers to have to keep their options open when it comes to quarterback. If there isn't a quarterback that is wowing anybody coming into the draft next year after, you know, a year of injury from Bryce, well, I mean, I think they're going to have to look at free agency, see what's out there, and then, you know, allow it to actually be a competition for Bryce in year three. I don't think you can completely move on from him after year two, no matter how well his bad, how good or bad his year is this year, but you do have to give him competition going into year three.
If I was VP of player personnel, the liaison between players and the upper management, which job description, here is my interview right here. This is my interview right here is, look, we need to look at Bryce Young as the short black Alex Smith. And Alex Smith had difficult years on a terrible, terrible San Francisco team. But you drafted him because of his brain, because of his kind of overall ability. Overall ability. But what I'm saying is this, is Alex Smith. Cody, how long have I been saying he's a short black Alex Smith?
No, that's been your comparison for Bryce for as long as I can remember.
Go back and like if, and that would be my job. When Cody talks about an injury, when he talks, or CK, sorry, everybody's name is Cody here. CK talks about injury, when he talks about circumstance and this and that. I go back to Alex Smith, who was drafted number one overall, by the way.
Yeah.
Ahead of Aaron Rodgers as well.
Number one overall, right? Like, this is the comparison. And Alex Smith was terrible for, he was okay. Not even okay. He was like 10 for 17 or whatever.
How about this? He was only meager and okay with the Chiefs.
I'm going to look it up and while you pull up the next topic. And we need to take some calls.
It's also, you know, when you look at Alex Smith, he didn't start to improve until he had a coach like Jim Harbaugh.
Harbaugh, right?
Yeah.
He was go under Harbaugh and then he was fucking incredible
with Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And so I think that's worthy of talking about because I think that tells you how much coaching matters. You know, it's, I don't know that Mahomes is the same guy that he is now if he didn't go to Andy Reid in Kansas City. You know what I mean? When you go to a good circumstance, I think you can succeed in a much better way. Same thing that's going on with CJ Stroud, right? CJ Stroud, nobody thought he was going into a great situation. His coaching staff is, like, quite honestly, probably one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. To do what they did last year with what they had, with people thought was nothing, and all of a sudden they were a not just a playoff team, a contending team. Like, I think where you go in the circumstances of what you go to are incredibly important. And that's, you know, I think that's what I'm hoping for Bryce Young and having Canales here is that is the catalyst that'll put him into that next tier of quarterback. Is he going to be an elite quarterback? I think we're, you know, hoping that's the case. But again, there's no evidence of that yet. But as of now, I think it's okay to be, have some optimism around that.
Now,
the problem with that, though, I do want to say this, Tony, because you made the comparison that, he was
there
in
is a big
draft.
Problem now that I look at his stats.
But he was in the same draft as Aaron Rodgers. And whether they like it or not, Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers are inexorably connected to one another.
Like CJ Stroud and
it's the same thing with Bryce and CJ. And to be honest, my biggest fear, and this is what I don't want to happen. I don't want it to be the fact that the Panthers took the Alex Smith when they could have had the Aaron Rodgers.
Well,
until Bryce changes that perspective, I think that's what the Panthers did.
This is going to make you feel worse. This is going to make you feel worse because I'm using Alex Smith as a model that I think the Panthers should look towards, right? Like as a positive thing. Like, hey, look to this guy's career. But now that I pull it up, all right, so he played with the San Francisco 49ers from 2005 all the way to 2012. This was he started nine game. He started seven games his first season. Terrible. I mean, he probably got hurt, it looks like. But he went so they went 7-9 his second year. They went two. Wait, hold on. This is not wins. I'm looking at it wrong. My point is this. Oh, I think this is wins. Right. Did they go? Somebody look up this. Did San Francisco go 13-3 in 2011? I think that's a Harbaugh year. So he goes 2-5, 7-9, 2-5, 5-5, 3-7, then hits 13-3 in 2011. You're talking about this. So I'm trying to use him as a good, and then he goes 11-4. Yeah, it would have been 11-4 in 2013 with Kansas, 8-7, 11-5, 11-4. It took him 7 years to even show out. In 2005, his first year he balled out was they were a 13-3 team in 2011. 6 years.
Yeah, I remember
that was a whole storyline too at that time because
6 years.
It was Jim Harbaugh had basically, you know, it was a matter of like he was going down the wrong path. He right. wasn't seen as a guy who was, and Jim Harbaugh took a chance on him, and he ended up, you know, going, you know, obviously an incredible football that year. And I think it's less about Alex Smith, and I think it's more about Jim Harbaugh in that situation.
Right, and that is, so I'm trying to use Alex Smith as a reason for us to be encouraged about the
bright, but right. it's not and really helping.
Now that we're looking at the story,
it's
like,
no, it's not helping. And
all right, here, look, like, let's look at his touchdowns. He had one touchdown his rookie season, 16 his second year, two. Obviously, he's hurt again there. 18. He didn't get above. All right, you guys, Kev said 20 touchdowns, right? He didn't hit. Alex Smith never had 20 touchdowns until he got to Kansas. If I'm looking at this right, here, I'll share it with you guys because, I mean, I could be looking at all this shit wrong. Isn't that bananas?
Yeah, that's...
No 20 touchdown seasons, right? So right here, touchdowns, right?
Are well, you fearful have- that Bryce is going to fall into that sort of
dude, trap? Look, well, I think of- Kev said this is like 20 is the number, right?
But here's, so like, hold on. There's an important caveat to this. There was only two seasons that he played 16 games.
Okay. Well, I'm still just saying this is like if 20 is the baseline, again, right. the story yeah. just got sadder.
Right. Well, the point I'm
why I would are make celebs is, that are gay probably didn't know the ad. Let's see what the what? Next ad is. What Best Buy.
Oh, I wasn't even. and so, then your mom just jumped in.
Oh, perfect. Like,
perfect. So, for instance, right. he had the you know the 18 touchdown season. Well, that was he only played 11 games. So I mean, he was
okay. On that's a good point. 20, no, that's a good point. 2,300 again. Hurt? What was he?
That
hurt?
Was yeah. He was injury prone, and that was the reason that yeah. he was having a struggle early on in his career. Was like he? I'm pretty sure it was ACL or something like that. So I mean, again, Alex Smith is not. He's not the bar that you want to set, right?
But he was the bar asset.
I know he was, but I'm saying like just when you look at it from the perspective of what he did, I mean, he was an injury prone quarterback who was this very system reliant. And that's not what we want, right? We want a quarterback.
But he was a little of everything. He's mobile enough to not get tackled. He's
big. Do you remember the year in Kansas City? He didn't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver all year.
No, well, it sounds familiar, but
yeah, that was a whole thing for the entire season. He didn't throw a single touchdown to a wide
receiver. He's not great. How about this? Well, that's the ball. That's what I want him to be.
And he had no, so he was faster than you gave him credit for, which I also think Bryce is as a runner, but he didn't have any special attributes. Didn't have the big time arm. He was
up there. This is what they all told us. It was the same thing.
I don't want to hear that, though.
Well, too late. We already bought it. All right, what's next? Enough of
this. Let's do some calls.
Yes, please.
Yeah,
what's
man,
the number?
So,
oh.
Jump in to the cat calls line. And you already know the number. It's 252-228-5098. Let's jump into some cat calls.
So what are your thoughts on cat calling?
Yeah, it's pretty shitty. You shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think cat calling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like... Who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his nose? Who's that kid that can use one?
What's up, Dave? It's Kyle from Hartford. And damn, this isn't really too important of a call, but I found out that Xavier Leggett's real name is Xavier's middle name. His real name is Anthony Leggett. I thought that was really interesting.
Mom, you hear?
That was the call. I hope you all have a good show. See ya.
Mom, you still here?
I don't know.
My mom. She loves Anthony, right? So Anthony Xavier Leggett.
That's a strong name if I ever heard one, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's go Warclaw update, maybe.
John B.
Hey, guys. It's John B. Jenkins calling in with your weekly European League of Football update and the update on your favorite team, the Panthers Wrocław. Now, there is a lot to cover in this brief update. I promise I'll try and keep it to one call. Let's see how well I do. Now, following the Week 6 loss to the Vienna Vikings, the team parted ways with both...
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Head coach Dave Christensen and quarterback John Uribe. Now, he was our second quarterback. We brought in our third quarterback, and I think third quarterback is the charm. More on him later. But, you know, it all seemed like a shit show was about to unfold. I even posted as much on my X account. But after firing Coach Christensen, they promoted defensive coordinator Craig Kuligowski, a.k.a. Coach Cool. I really like this guy. I mean, defense was probably one of our best aspects of our team. In fact, this last week, we ended up beating one of the second worst teams and getting 11 sacks in the process. So promoting this guy seems to be the right move. But he's got a great handle on Twitter, by the way, at Let's Meet at the Quarterback. Go give him a follow. But nice to see him get a dub in this first game. What I really want to draw attention to, though, is our new slash old quarterback, Matthew Vitale. Apparently, he played at Jackson State in college. Now, Matt has been known around the league for the last 2 years as Matty Ice. He's put up some great numbers wherever he's been. Most recently, that has been in the Liga de Football Americano Profesional in Mexico, or the LFA. With the LFA season over now, the team was able to bring him back at just the right time. And now, the more tape I watch on this guy, I really like him. He reminds me of my guy, PJ, witness the Walker Wonder. He's kind of smaller in stature, but he's got an arm, very good decision-making, and he's got accuracy. Okay, now that I said that, maybe PJ didn't quite have all those. But this guy is actually better statistically on paper. I'm excited to see where Matty Ice can take us. The team will have to rework the offense to fit his style of play. It was really built for more of the statue quarterback passer in Stephen Duncan. Uribe was more of a gunslinger, short passer. This guy is more of a runner and pass, I guess, run and gun. But anyway, if they're able to fit his style of play, they can right this ship, and they've got a chance at sneaking into the playoffs. I mean, anything is possible with this team. Now, the Panthers are on a bye this coming week with a matchup against one of the league's best teams in the Stuttgart Surge on July 21st. They've got 2 weeks to prepare, and they're going to need every ounce of that time to get ready. It will be a tough task, but I am confident they can do it. We're just going to have to wait and see. Now, that's all for this week's update. As always, keep pounding Carolina Panthers. Keep pounding Panthers Rocklaw, Rocklaw, and keep pounding C3.
Keep pounding. Listen, we have to work on that bumper and get the Rorschach update going. That's listen, so Panthers all that's around the world.
That's my favorite part of my week.
Dude, Panthers fans all around the world. Every Panthers team seems to be going through a time of upheaval.
John put out a tweet, it was probably last week when this was happening or whatever, that maybe a couple of days ago. And I was just thinking this is, and I probably said this on last week's show, the ECU Pirates were the worst offense in all of college football last year. Then you got my Saturday. Saturday was just, yeah. And then my Sunday with these Panthers. Now my offseason with these washcloths. Come on, guys. Let's get it together. Man.
Their organization parted ways with Coach Dave Christensen.
We need to look. Get us the HR page right away.
I do follow them on Twitter.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'm retweeting all of this. I love
it. Yeah. I am too. And listen, the more we learn about them through John B. Jenkins, the more they're making Rorschach Panther fans over here in the States.
Dude, I love it. Do not stop. Do not stop. Favorite part of my week. Let's go next to Jason Anderson.
What's up, guys? This is Jason Anderson. This ain't really football related, but I just felt like I need to call and say something. For those of you out there, I'm sure there's probably several either on the show or listening that's dealing with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, and depression, man. Mental health is something serious. Man, it's just amazing how much your brain, your mind can manifest to make you feel like you're going through that you're not really. I know for those that are dealing with it, you may feel like you're crazy or you're by yourself. You don't understand. Man, trust me, you're not by yourself. You're not alone in it. I've been dealing with it myself last couple months, man. It's not easy. You're not alone. Talk to somebody. If it's friends, family, coworkers, you'd be surprised how many people you know that are going through the same thing, man. Mental illness and your mental health is so important, man. Having mental health problems, man, it can manifest ways that it make you feel bad. Physically, emotionally, man, it causes depression. Talk to somebody. I don't know who needs to hear this or if it's just for me, man. Talk to somebody. You're not crazy and you're not alone, man. Talk. It helps. All right, bye.
All right, Jason.
Talk to somebody.
What I would say this is for someone who is living in a constant state of life chaos and turmoil, beyond what you guys just hear on the microphone and see on this face. But when you think of mental health and body, like, so we think your mental health affects your physical health. Your physical health affects your mental health too. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like,
especially us men of a certain age, we're sort of, if you're from a certain age, you're sort of taught to bottle that shit up, man it out, tough it out. But we're learning now that that's not really the best way to carry on with your mental health.
I will tell you this, is if I showed you a picture of me where I look, you know, the laundry boy, the laundry guy photo don't hit as hard no more. Right?
Because you've been working out. I see them.
But it doesn't hit photos. Like, at one point, it was like, it hit so hard. It was like, and now it's still funny and it hits like you can still see it. I'm telling you, when you don't know, or actually, I will just tell you what I went through, is I always have been pretty self-confident, pretty good with people. You know what I'm saying? Like, have fun with the party. But I would say I didn't know I felt bad about myself until I started to feel better about myself. Hmm. Like when I didn't ever go like, oh, I feel crap. Like I feel like I'm crap. But then as soon as you start working, you start trying to do one thing better a day, you make your bed, you whatever it is. But once you start feeling better about yourself, then you look back and you're like, oh, crap. I really did feel bad. I just didn't even know it. So my thing is, Jason, is I would say this is mind and body. Mind and body. One. They're one. So you know what? If you can't beat one, go after the other. Cody, let's take another call here.
C3 family.
C3?
Greetings from Dante 6, Circle Dante. Of 80s out here in Idaho, where it's 107 fucking degrees.
Oh, gosh.
A little after 6 o'clock.
After 6 o'clock?
Just wanted to call in. Doldrums of summer. I'm so sick of hearing national broadcasts. Give me 20 minutes on what fucking Bronny James had for breakfast this morning.
Mm.
I don't care, but it's Tuesday night. Get to dive in elbow deep with my boys on Panthers football. Man. Hey, happy Tuesday, guys. I had a question. I hate to do hypotheticals, but one thing that's been getting my goat, we keep hearing about, we hope Bryce Ball's out. Well, let's be realistic. No one expects him to take this team to 15-2 and throw for Joe Burrow numbers his sophomore year. But what are we going to do? How do we get this true evaluation of him? Okay, we got a better team, got a better line, got better receivers. So what happens if he goes out and throws 2,800 yards and 20 touchdowns and 17 picks? You know, again, he's hypothetical. I hate him, but I don't see him balling out. How do we move on or decide that this is the right quarterback if we have an average year or below average? Because everybody's saying we're going to win 4, 5, maybe 6 games. I don't know. I don't see too many more than that. Anyway, I kind of want to get your guys' take. You guys were talking about it, Cody, on the free-for-all one night, and I just kind of wanted to hear your take on it. Well, everybody but Tony is because he doesn't know ball. But
everyone knows that.
Love you guys. Keep pounding. Can't wait to hear the show tonight.
Keep pounding. Well, that's sort of why I named the title of the show what I did tonight. Is because even though it's easier to say that we don't have expectations for this Panthers team, we do. We have a ton of expectations for this Panthers team. We're expecting to see a competent offense this year. We haven't seen that shit in forever.
That's a ton.
So, that is something that we're expecting to see.
I would love to go into a job and be like, all right, what are your expectations for me? And they're like, we would like to see it better than the last person. I'm like, I got this.
I mean, we have expectations. They might be in the doldrums, but we do have expectations.
A ton of expectations when our expectations are just like, God, please Don't let our Sundays be as miserable as the rest.
No, I disagree with you. I have a ton of expectations. I want to see a better run defense. I want to see a Carolina Panthers team that can pass protect at a high level. I think that's another player that we don't mention enough. This year is a giant year for Akeem Ekwonu. He has to prove that he can actually pass protect at an NFL level, because as of right now, I have a lot of doubts at that position. We need to see this run game be better than it has been, both running the football and stopping the run. So, yeah, the Panthers have not been a good team, but we have a lot of expectations for this team, and a lot of those things, they play into one another. What is this offense going to look like under Dave Canales? Is he the kind of motivator that we're hyping him up to be? We're expecting good things, or at least a step forward. So if we don't take a reasonable enough step forward and we're still a bad team, to even like a bad to middle of the pack team, I still think there could be a lot of roster movement at the end of next season, because Canales did not pick most of these players. And he could just as easily want to move on from almost every single one of them if they're not playing up to his standard.
All right, let's go to the next call.
D3 family. Greetings from Dante's Six Circle of Hades out here in Idaho, where it's 107 fucking degrees.
Yeah, I thought that was the same.
Come on.
Hey, yo, what's going on, T3? It's Anthony.
Yeah, that's him. He told me that he called.
Hope y'all boys are having a good Tuesday. Just wanted to call in, say what's up. I just got tickets to one of the Wednesday training camp practices.
Yes, sir!
The Back at Bank or whatever event on Saturday. I heard some of the RC3 faithful are going to be there, so that's awesome.
I'll
meet as many of you guys as I can face-to-face. It'll be an awesome time.
I gotta do this.
So I encourage you guys to get tickets to that if you are or can be in Charlotte. As for what I wanted to talk about, really it's nothing in particular. Training camp, I'm just hoping that when we, the big thing about it is I know we're gonna be practicing our own team. But again, I think what really, threw me off last year and gave me, signs of what to come was when we practiced against the Jets. I remember our D line couldn't get pressure on their offensive line. And granted, it wasn't a good offensive line. This year it got better. Let's see how they do against that in practice to get a good feel for, what we could expect in the season. And then how our offensive line holds up. I remember last year, it was just like Bryce Young sack, Bryce Young evades the pocket, nobody open. So that was all the reporting. So I hope we see some differences there. This leads into my next thing. I remember I was at the Jets preseason game with my buddy. I was walking back from the game, and I went on the podcast with you guys that day and was kind of giving you the rundown report of what I saw on the field. So I, preseason, we've heard it before. Yeah, it could be very vanilla, but we still need to see more. We still need to see good things from it. Okay. I know, and I said this last year, some good teams, like preseason doesn't matter to them. They play bad in the preseason. But for us, I feel like it'll give us some real hope that at least, we're not going to have major deficiencies at important positions we upgraded. And the last thing I want to touch on is that Nicole Tepper video that was circling around the internet.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
I haven't seen this.
I don't want the Teppers to be involved in draft situations. Frankly, they shouldn't even be sitting in the war room. A lot of owners don't do that. I know they want to be involved. And I know people are going to say that, Nicole should give her voice. That's fine. Think what you want to think. But I just don't think that they have no background as a football scout or anything like that. That's just my opinion. Y'all, if you can get tickets, come to training camp. Meet up with your boy Anthony. Anthony from Charlotte. Keep motherfucking pounding, boys.
Love Anthony. What a great name.
What do you mean?
What is this story?
Bro? So you have to give me a minute. I gotta get the clip.
I haven't seen any of this. I've been laying low on this, but I thought we were past these moments.
No,
I thought we were past the moments of.
It was a mirror.
Because my wife didn't like him, Mom. Sorry, Mom. Like what? All right, here we'll take another. Let's take another call while we do that. Anthony, I love you.
Hey guys,
he came back
for part two because I didn't even know what the title of the show was, so I didn't really call in regards to it. But this is just all I gotta say. From the general public standpoint, people aren't expecting much of us. By the way, Adrian Wilson fired. I guess he had allegations against him. Blah blah blah. We don't know how much of a role he really had. Second thing is. These fans, I know we have optimism. I know we just want our team to be good, and I want the team to be good too. But I'm telling y'all, as the season goes on, you're going to understand that moral victories are more important than wins on the board at this point because, frankly, I don't know how many wins we can get. Really don't know. If you put a gun to my head and said the Panthers have to win 10 games this year or I'm going to pull the trigger, I'd probably just accept my fate because there's no evidence telling me they're going to win 10 games. But if Bryce Young looks good, the offensive line looks good, Derrick Brown takes that elite step, that real top 3D tackle step after getting paid a bag, that's great. If Jadeveon Clowney plays good, that's good. If Leggett looks good, if Mingo looks better, you know, Deontay Johnson, if he looks good, because apparently he's interested in staying here long term. There are things that can happen that are good in our season that doesn't necessarily have to translate to wins. You can be a good, you can have a good quarterback season and not win a lot of games. Hence Jared Goff. The first year he was in the, with Detroit, his stats good for a quarterback. They only won like two or three games. And yeah, the defense was ass, but I know this is just a lot to expect. I, again, am going to say it one more time. I don't expect much from Dave Canales or Dan Morgan in terms of, like, I'm not going to put blame on them this year. They were dealt a shit hand, and there's not much they could have done to fit overhaul the whole roster. There just wasn't enough resources. We already didn't have leverage from Brian Burns. Just a lot of things working against them. So regardless, I'm not going to be upset emotionally what happens from this season. The only thing I'll be upset about is if the team doesn't look like they play for their coach and if the locker room's lost. If Dave Canales loses the locker room after one season, we got major issues. But those are my thoughts. Anthony from Charlotte, keep motherfucking pounding.
Hey, keep pounding, Anthony. I mean, yeah, lots of moving parts, like you said. Deontay Johnson, what's he going to look like? Derrick Brown coming on a big year this year. Lots of moving pieces. CK, I'll let you answer Anthony, and then I'll let us react to these clips.
I agree. I mean, I think that when you think about the fact that there is a winning season without having a winning season, like I think that is 100% true. I think there are moral victories and there are things that, you know, that we can always look to and say, okay, there is a future with this team. If we come out and there aren't even, you might say, if we don't win, you know, more than 8 games, that's a bad situation. I agree. It sucks, but it's not as though if like, you know, Anthony was talking about, if there are steps in the right direction, we can actually still be excited about it. And we can be happy about what our Panthers were putting on the field because there was last year house was money. The hardest
we're playing with house money. It's yeah. Okay.
Last year was the hardest year to watch the Panthers in my entire remembrance of watching the Panthers.
And dude, that's bad. It's been so hard.
Right. And it's because it was just so inept. Like if our defense takes a step back, but our offense takes a step forward, our offense can still keep us in a game. The problem was our defense couldn't keep us in games when our offense wasn't able to do anything either.
Our offense couldn't do anything. And look, my mom loves CK yep. more than anybody. CK is her favorite person in the world. Mom, close your ears. Actually, just leave. I'm not going to say anything.
So just, do you want me to set picture. Up the context?
Just look at the picture. Yeah, that's it. Just look at the picture.
Okay, so this is something that popped up on Panther's Twitter. What picture? I don't even know what picture.
The one that's
talking.
Up.
But Nicole Tepper?
Yeah. All right. Come on.
Come so, on. Okay. The Teppers,
beautiful
the
day
Teppers were in the news. The Teppers were in the news. And they weren't even in the news, but it's people reacting to a clip from the Panthers blueprint. And after all of the discussions of meddling that the Panthers have had, David Tepper inserting his nose into the business, people saw this clip of Nicole Tepper giving her opinion. And everyone started to throw trash at Teppers.
When did we get this?
For the guy that I like.
All right, this is flirting. That's flirting.
No, they're not. No, it's not.
Talk. That is,
dude. They're talking about
a billionaire.
No, they're talking about Xavier Leggett and how everybody at that time wanted to move up for Xavier Leggett. So she's talking about a conversation that we had with someone. Where he said, would you like to trade up for?
Look at her.
For the guy that I like. And I said, yeah, by the way, they're talking about Xavier Leggett that they're all looking to move up for.
Dave, look, let's see if Dave even looks. No.
But it started over. I got
He glanced. Look, he's glancing.
For the guy that I like.
But dude, okay, let's be real. Look, you can turn this into that if you want. But you know what it also is? She is the chief administrative officer for the Carolina Panthers. So there's like the people. But she's allowed to give her opinion in a room where she's paid to give her opinion. Like, that is what she is a part of it. You know what? I want her opinion to be heard more than David Tepper. How about that?
Let's watch it one more time, and that's how you read it.
But I want to find the longer.
Let's watch it one more time, and let's just see how you. All right, tell me how you read this. Well, I'm not saying anything. Don't worry about what I'm saying. How do you read
this? There's a longer clip that I can try and find.
How do you read this moment?
I think that she's talking about a player.
Okay, so tell us and then we'll watch it again.
For the guy that I like.
But everyone did this last year too. Oh, she had a crush on Bryce. She had a crush on CJ. Like, it's the easy thing to do because she's a woman in the workplace. My point being, people use this as a clip to say that the Teppers are making decisions for and on behalf of the Panthers. But one, they own the team. What is anyone going to do about it when they literally own the team? And number two, she works in that front office. She is not just the pretty face of the billionaire
model over there. No, I'm sorry, CK. Everybody else might be making this about meddling. I'm looking at this going, don't call HR.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. I mean, I'm not saying this
overboard. You know what I'm saying? But your woman flirtatiousness and poor Dave Canales. I mean, look at his eye. I'm done with this stuff.
Well, she's not even talking to him though. Like she's directly looking at Dan Morgan.
Dan Morgan is off the screen.
One more time. Look at the body line.
For the guy that I like,
I don't see anything different than any other. You're just saying that because she's a woman with hair and tits.
My mom's in here.
Well, okay, sorry, but that's is working in this office as a member of this team.
Yeah, as her husband's, she's a billionaire wife who is now okay. I'm with it. I got no problems with it.
Chief administrative officer.
I want a billionaire to flirt with me.
I don't know. I just don't see it as flirting, man. Like, who is she flirting with?
It's not
Dave
a
flirt. Or Dan. Like, everyone said this. No,
it's not a flirt. Flirt's not the right word. It's using your. All right. Let's move on.
Your womanly exposition.
Yes.
Let's move on.
You think that Dave Tepper is an asshole? Wait until Nicole Tepper fucking tries to cancel this podcast. It's over. Let's move on. Next.
Nicole Tepper is our queen. I love that woman.
You didn't like
her. I think she is the better decision maker.
After that,
they need Tepper, a press pass.
1,000%.
My mom is egging it on. Let's go. Next subject.
Well, I gotta find the video, but Cam Newton, as always, making news, making headlines. Cam Newton, and I thought about you, Tony, because I know you spoke very glowingly about Mike Vick. But Cam Newton was talking about Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick and himself in regards to who is the better rushing quarterback. And Cam Newton gave his thoughts about it, and we'll play that now.
It's Cam, folks. You don't even got to listen to it. Look at him. Love this guy.
Think of yourself as the greatest dual threat to ever play the game.
No, Lamar Jackson.
What?
Oh, stop.
Lots of wild Lamar.
Not even close.
Well, Lamar's style is a little different than mine. He got big play. Any play.
Yeah. You had big play, Cam. Don't stop.
Speed that I stop. Never had. Mm-hmm. And he's just electric. And then, like, I played the game more powerful.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. You were the boss, bro.
You're gonna run through you. They might run around you.
Yeah, good. I can go, run, bro. But I'm going to probably get caught. Vic, Lamar, they ain't get caught.
Do you see or think?
So, he said Lamar. I think I'm very biased here, but I think there were repercussions to tackling Cam Newton. Oh, yeah, Mike Vick and Lamar did make you miss and look silly,
bro.
He would put fools in the dirt, just angry running. And to me, that's what made him an extra layer of dangerous.
I could see the argument either way. It's similar to the argument of like trying to compare different positions almost, because they are incredibly different, the two of them. However, unfortunately, Lamar Jackson, the way that he plays is going to be the way that's going to allow him to, he's basically going to be able to have a much longer career than Cam Newton did.
Yes.
Because he is able to, you know, and he's going to have a lot more electrified. Like the issue is at the end of the career of Lamar Jackson and the end of career when it comes to Cam Newton, you're going to look at Lamar Jackson's numbers and say, there's not even a comparison.
Like, how long has Lamar been in the league? Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, he just now, this is his first, what, sixth year, and that's it?
He's been here 2018, though. But think Cam only made it from...
Yo, you there? I think Tony might be frozen.
Yeah. I was worried that it was just on my end. I was like, uh-oh.
No, I do believe the man is frozen. But, CK, I mean, are we just curious? No, I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. You're there, though. We can see your camera.
We'll cover him until he gets back. CK, jump in on this. Like, again, I don't know how much you watched of Mike Vick. I have very, very early memories of Mike Vick. I knew who he was. I remember the buzz when he was drafted. But to me, Cam Newton was a different breed of dual threat quarterback that, to be honest, in my opinion, inspired most of the dual threat quarterbacks that we see in the NFL today.
Right. No, I listen, I could see that. I think Mike Vick was that guy that kind of spurred the Cam Newton generation. And I think that Cam Newton was a very big part of what brought the Lamar Jacksons, the Anthony Richardsons, those people that most people would have looked at and said, do a different position, don't be a quarterback, right? Cam Newton opened that door for a lot of them, or at least allowed them to realize that they don't have to be this, 180 pound, soaking what, basically no real athleticism outside of what they can do with their arm type of a quarterback.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Look, Mike Vick was like the joystick player on the game, right? Like, I mean, he was so change of direction, fast, elusive. He had a fucking cannon of arm. This guy could throw it out the fucking... His career was ended or truncated, maybe it might be the right word, by
his own stupidity.
Maybe. But
I mean, it was a coach
he was with. And stuff like that. So the dog shit ruined him. Cam is the greatest fucking one to do it, though. So Mike Vick could have been like, he's like the guy you saw. He's like, here, I'll give you this. Let me see if I can pull it up fast enough. Is Mike Vick was made for this role. You hear that?
No.
Can't hear it? Willie Beeman?
All right. No, I don't hear the soundboard.
All right. Well, anyway, then I got to reboot everything now. Anyway, the point being is this, is Mike Vick was Jamie Foxx of any given Sunday in a way, except for not a backup. Like he was
in Atlanta too.
He was so good. But I'm telling you this is Cam is the greatest running quarterback of all. Period. And Lamar's not even close, but Lamar has become more of a dual threat.
So Luke Kuechly went on.
Lamar is what's the guy from what's the Redskins guy that got hurt?
RG3.
He's RG3 that didn't get hurt.
So this is Luke Kuechly. He went on Kay Adams and talked about this very notion, this very topic.
He Cam's MVP season.
Yeah.
Firsthand, would you take Peak Lamar or Peak Cam?
I'm taking. I'm partial to Cam, and I'll say this. I think that playing against Cam Newton would be so difficult because of how physical he was.
Yeah, duh.
Big, he's physical. Lamar is a pain to tackle. He's a pain to get your hands on. He's a pain to keep in the pocket. But you can get on him. You can get him on the ground. With Cam, he's running through you on third down and one, fourth and one. Fourth and goal, third and two at the 2 yard line. You know exactly what play's coming. He's going to be 6'5, 265 running power with Tolbert as a lead.
Goat.
That is terrifying.
All right. So, here, can we take another? You want to keep talking about this or can we take another call?
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's see. Can you hear this?
Yo.
Loud, though.
Hey, dude. Down for North Carolina. Yeah. Shout out to the great Tony Dunn, to that homie Cody.
A little bit higher.
Daddy, to CK Cole Dizzle. Shut the hell up, Panther Pickle. My brother from another mother, D-Ville Skills. The whole legion, that number guy, Mr. Stratz. Now the Panthers ain't crumbling to no expectations. Well, part of the reason why is this fan base is divided. Half of them want to say that we're going to be trash. The other wants to be optimistic. And then the other one doesn't want to lean too far on that side in case the other degree actually happens. They're not too far wrong in what their thoughts were. And all that's fine. That's fine. But we brought in competency. We're bringing in accountability. We're bringing in competition. Training camps coming up. They about to do the Thug Thizzle. They about to get right. They going to handle them situations. We're going to see better football. I can't say what numbers is going to calculate, but I feel the only way that the Carolina Panthers is going to crack under pressure is if they coming out telling us they're going to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. You got to remember, we were 2-15 last year, people. So at the end of the day, yes, that record did not reflect the squad, but it did reflect the disarray that was going on in the building. Also, with that being said, the Carolina Panthers are on the verge. They're on the verge, regardless of what you believe, regardless of your pessimism, regardless of however you feel about it. You got a young quarterback that now has a new confidence. You got receivers that's ready to prove the thing. You got an actual O-line that should be proficient. We haven't had that in a long time. A lot of people got worries about the defense. I don't as much. If you go back and look at that schedule, people, there are a lot of winnable games. And we didn't get blown out of a lot of games last year. Mm. It was our own mistakes
too
that lost
optimistic,
us the majority
dude.
Of them games last year. So, no, we're not going to crumble the expectations, because the only expectation that needs is that we're going to be better.
House money.
And that's going to try.
But Tony, that is what I'm talking about.
House money.
And I don't feel that if you're going out there putting that work and being the dog that you say you are, that you'll even have any kind of problem crumbling. But like I tell you, in any other time, family, keep pounding.
But Tony, this is what I'm talking about. Those expectations that we're going to be a better team, those are the ones that I'm talking about when I'm saying we have expectations. We have been so garbage. Like every year we do this thing where it's like, God, it can't get any worse than this, huh? And then it does. So it's like we are expecting some sort of, you know, some gateway out of hell. Because that's where the Panthers
you got been. It. It's on Tuesday night at 9 p.m. All right, let's take another call.
Hey, what's up, C3? I wanted to talk about Adrian Wilson, the news today. It was June 1st that he was arrested, but nobody heard anything about this until today. Does anyone think that's a little suspicious?
Were they vetting it? Is what he's at?
Almost.
Maybe that makes it more legitimate.
Over a month later, all this time we didn't hear about it. Why is it coming out today? I think I can shed some light on that.
Well, then tell us.
Adrian Wilson. He was the 64th pick in the draft.
Okay.
And today is 64 days before David Tepper's upcoming birthday. So the 64th pick, 64 days before.
I mean, dude, this dude would come on the free for all sometimes.
Call it a night, right here.
Until today. But there's a whole lot else to say about this, but just keep it surface level. That's not a coincidence.
I got, I'm beating really Michelle or whatever her name's Temper.
But we'll leave
it
there.
Thank you very much. That's a great call. I'm over here reading body language. He's counting days between people's birthdays. Here we got another call. And hey, we might.
Yo, C3 family.
Oh, D came back for another.
One more time.
What?
I had to chime in on Dick, Newton, and Jackson. I was around for it. I loved it. Even though I didn't like Vic. Because my son was raised in Hampton, Newport News.
Oh, yeah.
I was
that's where
down
he's
there
from.
Around that
Newport
time
News.
Of my military days. Yep. I got to see a lot of Mike Vick and Marcus Vick.
Ronald Curry
and
back
Allen
in the
Iverson.
Day, too.
Slightly, they just showed a lot of him down there from when he played football there. Mike Vick is not going to get the love he deserves because, you know, certain accusations. You know how we love our pets and people love their pets.
I don't even hate them for this shit.
but he was a different talent.
I still think it's pretty like fucked up.
Taken out of the equation because of the time.
Wait for the most unpopular decision ever.
As far as Lamar, Lamar is the prototypical dual threat quarterback. And I agree with Cody that, like, yes, Cam made you feel it. But also in the same breath of Cam made you feel it, Lamar have your ankles feeling it. Have your vision blurred.
Yeah.
Have you grasped.
And then can throw like a 90-yard bomb.
And it's just something totally different.
With a flick of the wrist.
I've never tried to gauge them of who's better because I agree with Cam that it's kind of two different things. You got the finesse game versus the power game. But if I had to say, when they was at their peak, at their absolute peak, they won't know better than Mike Vick as a dual threat quarterback.
Oh, no. I thought I was going to give you a kiss for saying
I thought you would agree with him. The way you talk about Mike Vick, but I thought you'd be. Do.
And I love every single one of y'all.
Mike Vick was nasty as fuck, man. He destroyed everything. All right, here's my bad joke. I'm the only person that likes Mike Vick more after the dog shit than before.
You're so fucked up.
It got him out of the NFC South.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I like Mike Vick more. Like, ever since the dog shit, I actually like him more. All right. What else we got? Because those are all the calls. Come on. Tell me this show is at the ISO Pigs. We did that.
We are. We're at the fucking ISO.
All right, let's fucking do this. Oh, man. Mom, I drank 12 waters for real today. For real.
Go ahead and set it up.
Hey, you're listening to the longest running Panthers podcast on the interweb or anywhere. We haven't missed a beat in 11 effing years. Every Tuesday night, we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. Get ready. It's the longest running segment on the longest running podcast. Our homage to Steve Smith. Let's ice some foods up.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Everyone's fair game. Bro, I don't have any great ones. I got a couple tonight.
Two tonight.
Okay. CK never brings one, but hopefully got.
I enjoy watching you guys.
All right. Okay. That's weird. You ice. yeah. You know what? You know what I was gonna say, right? You know what I'm saying. All right. You got it. Yeah. All right. So Dave Portnoy. Who I actually like because
I like Dave Portnoy too. Yeah,
this is him trying to hammer a nail. I don't know why he's trying to do this. What a pussy. First
dude,
can
hammer it better than him.
Yes. You can't even use a fucking orange.
Yeah, I can do way better than that shit. Right. The fuck, that's
Dave, Mr. One Bite, talk shit to everybody. We're talking shit to you. This is a one hammer review. Motherfucker, why don't you hold the handle by the handle? You want to use a hammer, hold it down at the bottom and wallop that bitch. Look at him. He's holding up tight. Dummy. What a dummy. This guy's worth $5 billion, whatever, $500 million. He can't even hammer a nail. Ice up, Dave.
Ice up. Yeah, pay someone to do it for you. You have enough money.
No, or fucking hold the hammer at the bottom of. All right, go ahead.
All right, so okay, now there is this trend of people that are dumb enough to get plastic surgery of things that people used to hate having growing up. So back in our day, if you knew someone that had a lot of freckles, they generally hated having freckles. Terrible. They grow on your freckle face. Well, now is the new trend, dude. These silly hoes, man. Look at these, man. Look at these silly hoes. God, why would you do that to your face?
It's fake.
No, it is not fake. This is not
Oh my god.
Look at that. Look how red they their faces.
Eyes them up.
Oh, dude, how dumb do you have to be?
Oh, God. That might be my most upsetting ice up I've seen in a long time.
Dude, we need to bring back shaming people. I got one more.
This one's a quick one, but it's not anything. All right, so I'm going to show you this tweet. The tweet says, biggest firework in Japan. All right.
Oh, God, dude. Why do I feel like this is about to be...
it's not in it. Look, I'm going to have to explain. I'm just going to have to explain the retweets because the retweets don't show up. I guess I can do this. All right. So, biggest firework in Japan.
Bomb launched over Nagaoka in Japan.
Boom. All right. And then the tweet was Japan has seen bigger.
That's fun.
I couldn't. It was biggest firework in Japan ever, the video. And then the retweet was Japan has seen bigger. So I don't know who to ice up, but all of it. I'm icing up all of it.
Dude, that's good. My final one. Apparently, this chick cut off this guy in traffic. And yet, she's the one who gets out all pissed off. But isn't it funny how karma will sometimes just instantly come back around to bite you on the ass? So, check this out. Watch what happens at the
end. What are you tweaking about?
I have an 82-year-old man in the car, and you guys are all fucking spinning and disturbing. Just because it's 4th of July doesn't mean you give a fucking dick.
You're drunk as fuck. Nigga.
Fuck you, dog.
You're the one swerving. I was just following you.
I'm the one swerving?
I'm the one.
What?
Yeah, it was actually... Oh, there she goes.
Hey. Oh! Fucked it up, too. Anytime a car hits a car, you're like, oh, it's not that bad, and it's like bumper demolished.
But he had to get out and go help.
Oh my God.
Wow. So to the clearly drunk woman on 4th of July getting mad when apparently she was the one almost running people off the road. I saw.
Here's my final ice up, it's just this picture.
Oh God.
What? And it's something, it says this in 2013. I know. It says in 2013, Chinese factory worker Zi Wei's hand was kept alive by a unique medical procedure. Doctors attached it to his left ankle, connecting it to barbed blood flow. Anyway, I just saw this picture.
What? Why would you do that? Why would you even do that?
He had to keep it alive. They fed it.
Keep it alive, or they're gonna take it off of the foot and reattach it.
Put it on his hand,
your hand. I don't know. I saw that picture that I said it was ice up. All right,
gives new meaning to the term give him a hand.
I don't even know. Are you a foot person or your hand person? I don't know. Neither.
Whatever's clever. That's what I said.
All right. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Every Tuesday night, we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. My name's Tony Dunn. You're looking at my wheelman, Cody Lack, and CK, the voice that makes them voice. Cody, can you take us out of here tonight?
Hell yeah, we can. C3 Panther Nation, until next time, keep pounding. We'll be seeing y'all soon.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.